Mark 1:14-15, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Not too long ago, I watched as people streamed into our little chapel over at that children's hospital, and it was the beginning of Lenten. It was Ash Wednesday. And so the Catholic priest had conducted a little service, and most of the Catholic faithful poured into the chapel, standing room only. And after a small little service, they all lined up, and those who were administering the ashes got in place. And when they received the ashes, they said to them, "Turn away from sin and believe the gospel." Well, I know Ash Wednesday does not figure very high in your religious calendar, if any at all, right? However, the message, "Turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel," is something that we all can agree with, right? And I think this is the message that Jesus presented right here in the book of Mark. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. I've decided today that we'll kind of focus more on the issue of repentance, because it is appropriate response to the message that Jesus is bringing. If the time is near, a lot of us would want to repent, right? The kingdom of heaven, it's something great. So Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, believe the gospel." Now, when we think about the time is near, especially as Adventists, we think about prophetic understanding of the time. Well, you know, the Jews also thought about time in that way. They thought it was the consummation of the hope of Israel. Now it's going to happen. Finally, Israel is going to have all these fulfillment of these great prophecies of the Old Testament. Or you might be thinking, Revelation, it's coming. It's coming to the end. Well, let's look at time differently and see Jesus not as the fulfillment of the prophetic time as such, but as the fulfillment of time itself. It was the right time. The time has come. This is the appropriate time. This is the appropriate time, not necessarily the time of the end. Not the completion of what Christian hope has not arrived. It's not the time yet for apocalypse, but it's the time to come close to God. It is more hopeful because it's talking about the reign of God within our hearts, within our minds. It's about relationship with God and with others. Entering the kingdom, as we are asked, demands two things. It says, believe or repent and believe. Of course, I don't need to define repentance, but let me do it anyway. Now, the Greek word that is used denotes a change of mind. It's a reorientation. It's a fundamental transformation of outlook and the individual vision of the world and of himself. And so it means a change, a new way of loving others and the universe. Repentance is a change of thought to correct a wrong and gain forgiveness from a person, from God. It's usually referred to confession. Well, confession and repentance are, I'll call it, kissing cousins. It means ceasing from sin against God and resolving to live according to the religious law or according to the law of God. Now, it typically includes admission of guilt. Something very hard to do for some of us, right? A promise or a resolve to not to do these things again. It means to think differently. That's what it means. It's a change of mind, a change of thought. So it means primarily that it's an afterthought different from the thought that we had before. Well, the prodigal sons illustrate this pretty nicely. Prodigal son went out from home and lived his life in a wanton pleasure. And when he had sunk to the lowest, he came to his senses and he reflected, he took some time to look at himself and understand where he was as opposed to where he could be. And he made some changes in his heart first, then he verbalized that change. Now, think of a husband, and I can pick a husband because I'm one. He's driving his wife to her favorite place, maybe the mall, and she said, turn right at the next stop. For some reason, he heard left, and so he went left. And so she got at him and said, no, I told you, turn right. Oh, yes, I heard you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I turned wrong. But if he keeps driving in the same direction, never stop, is he ever going to get where his wife wanted him to go? So saying I'm sorry, it's not helpful, but stopping and turning around, that will get the change that is necessary. So repent mean just more than a change of mind, or it means to give up a habit or give up a behavior. Repent means to turn around and face God, to turn away from the direction that we were going ourselves or think we were going. Now, I think Christianity suffers from an image problem here. Many freeze when we hear the word repent. I think I had the same reaction because I was thinking to put on the topic repent, but I said, you know what, that sounds a bit in your face. Like so many other words and stories of our faith, it's misused in its meaning, and some very zealous people take it to other limits that it's not helpful. Many would understand repentance as the end of their enjoyment of life. Can't repent because it means, oh, life is going to be boring. Really, it should be the opposite. To repent is to look for God's purpose for our life and to work out God's fulfillment in us. So it's going deeper, Pastor. There is a sense of timing here. Not timing as if, yeah, it's the end, but timing as if the time is now to make a change. It's a sense of right time that makes all else slips into insignificance. A decision to repent does not mean that all is going to be fine and dandy. A sincere decision to repent drives a person to deeper regions of their life. I think it takes a whole lot of reflection, a whole lot of looking at oneself and being sincere and honest with yourself. There are responsibilities that belong to a Christian that many will rather avoid. Again, let's use the wife and husband. You know, there was a man who was bothered by his wife, and wife would tell him every day or every weekend, please, let's go to church with me. And he would tell her, just go, honey, go for both of us. And so one night he had a dream. He had a dream that he and his wife died. And they both were entering the pearly gates. And St. Peter was standing right there. And his wife was let in. And when he came, St. Peter said, stop right here. She's going in for both of you. We cannot shift the responsibility to others. It is ours, right? Apologizing sometimes does not measure up to what really repentance is. You know, we've seen politicians galore, comes on stage and with the lights on the cameras them and their poor wives standing beside them looking very, very pathetic sometimes. And they make these public apology. You know their hearts have not changed, right? You know, they need to do that to save their career, or they need to do that to help in some way. And while this might be good to help maintain a degree of civility in our world and public decency, it is not necessarily the thing that Christians need to do to regain that relationship with God. Somebody said that remorsefulness is sorry for the past, but doesn't want to change the future. While repentance is also sorry for the past, but makes a change of heart so the future will be different. It changes future behavior so that past mistakes won't be repeated. I believe repentance is a very special spiritual process. It's a spiritual transaction. It happens when we are awakened by the Spirit of God to our own need to change. I said our own need to change. Because it's so easy to see when others need to change. Now, this awakening can come in the midst of crisis. And, you know, I live where crises are handled every day. And I see these need for repentance happen. And people even ask me to help them in that process. It can happen when you sit alone and study God's word and it hits you right here and you find out, yeah, I need to make a change. It can be just listening to this sermon or to all the sermons that are preached from this pulpit. I'm sure my preachers pray that something will happen when they preach. Just about any experience can bring you face to face with the reality of your condition or the condition of your heart. So, what do I repent of? You don't want me telling you that, right? Of course, you got to figure that out. Now, the preacher was preaching one day, and he called, at the end of his sermon, he called for repentance. And so one guy jumped up and said, I want to repent. Uh-oh, what do you want to repent of? Well, I'm not sure. I was to sit over there and think about it. Well, it didn't take long because the Spirit of God will let you know almost immediately what do you need to repent of if you really want to repent. And I'm sure all of us can find something. And you see, I like the verse over here because when Jesus did not give us a long list of things. He just said, repent. Now, sometimes we like when we're given specific because, you know, it can kind of free us from the responsibility of figuring it out ourselves. But Jesus did not do that. He just said, repent. And he said, you sit down and figure out what are your needs. Now, we repent because, of course, see, repentance presumes that we have an understanding or an awareness of sin or right or wrong. Of course, we live in a world today that is very relative and people are judged unto themselves. And so too often we find that people don't see anything wrong with anything. But as Christians, we have a gauge as to what is right and what is wrong. And we know what God is calling us to do or not to do. And so repentance becomes an important matter. Now, why? Because it's the only path back to God. The Bible says that Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of God is near. It's here. And if you want to be part of it, if you want to be part of that special group, then there are certain things that you need to do about yourself. And one of that, it says, is to repent. There is nothing better than the kingdom of heaven for us to strive for. Repent because it restores us to a right relationship with God and with our fellow men. Repent because it's the condition for the cleansing of the soul, because it scores one for righteousness, I would say. And because it's simply good for the soul. Psalms 32, verses 3 to 5 from the Message read, when I kept it all inside, my bones turned powder. My words became a day-long groans. The pressure never let up. All the juices of my life dried up. Then I let it all out. I said I will make a clean breast of my failures to God. Suddenly, the pressure was gone. My guilt dissolved. My sin disappeared. You know, I would say there is joy in heaven when one sinner repents. You know, in Adventist circle, we always take that to mean, you know, when somebody accepts Jesus for the first time or accept the message. But I want to think that heaven does strike up the band and the music starts up there when one of us, or maybe you didn't think that you're in that group anymore. So there is joy in the happiest place in the universe when one sinner repents, the Bible says. So we can bring a little joy up there. I believe repentance is very nice because it resolves hostility and enmity, not just between you and God, but it's also horizontal. It helps resolve difficult relational problems. Yesterday, I nurse called me and said, I need to talk with you, chaplain. There is some situation going on that is just impossible. I won't tell you what it is, but it seems impossible indeed. But I would, with God, nothing is impossible. Reconciliation. It promotes reconciliation. It means that people can come together. Again, we sinners who are estranged from God can come back together. Yes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So who needs repentance? Okay, I should hear, everybody should just say amen. If we confess our sin, you know that one. Say it with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, confession is primarily an individual, personal matter. Because it is about your heart and what's going on inside of you. But I think also confession can become a corporate issue, an organizational issue. Because sometimes as a group, as a body, we promote or we sanction things that are questionable. And we need to come together and say, we are all sorry. I think there are cultural sins, things that we do without even thinking because it's the norm, society approves it, it's what we grow up doing, but when we measure it with the gospel and our values and our belief system, we find out they're not necessarily together. And that might be an opportunity for repentance. Now, who is asking you to repent is very important. You know, if my wife and I are caught on different sides of the issues, and she looked at me sternly and said, "Repent," that might just be the spark for a big fire, right? But my understanding is clear that God is asking me to repent, that the sovereign God is saying to me, repent, then I might be a little more humble. Now, that doesn't mean I shouldn't be humble and repent if I'm wrong and my wife told me to repent, you know. But it could be a fighting word. In Joel chapter 2, verses 12, I should say, the Bible says, even now, declare the Lord, return to me with all your heart. How? He said, return to me with all your heart. Yes, God does not like to split hearts. He wants all. With fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart, and they used to say render, but rend your heart and not your garment. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Return. He wants us to do it sincerely. Now, the folks in the past did not, showed very clearly when they were repentant. You know, they will go down, put on some kind of clothes you wouldn't wear to church, and they will take ashes and pour over themselves, and it was really clear that something was happening in their life. Now, we're not asked today to show to the world that you are repentant in that way, but in the change that is a result of your of repentance, yes, the world needs to see it and can benefit from seeing it. So the question is, how to repent? We just read, with all your heart. It's with sincerity, with total contrition, to embrace righteousness and abhor sin. Matthew 3:8 said, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turn to God. Jesus began his public ministry by trumpeting to the world in a very clear and urgent message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I think if Jesus was here today, I think he would be saying the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And not with the understanding that it is apocalypse now, but the understanding that he wants to reign in your heart now. Amen. He's proclaiming the good news of God. News that is about God and is from God. The gospel is the good news. It's the very best news that humans can hear. Because it's a message of forgiveness. It's a message of restoration. It's a message of new life in Christ. The kingdom of God is in essence the reign of God, the personal relationship between the sovereign God and the individual. So the basis for Jesus' pressing appeal to repent and believe is that the kingdom of heaven is near. He said, this is the reason why I'm telling you, do this, because the kingdom of heaven is here. It's near. And I want you to be part of it. Now, if the only hurdle that needs to be clear is for you to open your heart to this, and you open your heart by emptying it of everything that is will limit God's entrance in your heart. So, in the words of I guess the Apostle Peter in Acts 3:19, he said to the crowd that was listening that day, repent, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repent so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So I say to all of you, turn around. Thank you.